welcome to Reading Your Way to Heaven. This is Gabe, and I am joined by Jason. Jason, how's it going, man?
Everything's going well. If y'all don't listen to the other podcasts during the week, come join us, and you can hear how far along we're getting, especially on Monday's podcast on the Space Trilogy. We keep going on and on about how much closer we're getting to being finished with the first book. Stark contrast compared to Francis de Sales.
Oh my gosh. the book that never ends.
But we feel like we've gone through just as much.
Oh my gosh.
As out of the Silent Planet.
You should tune in to at least this past Monday's episode of Out of the Silent Planet to hear all about how Jason has this obsession with Oreos.
It's so good.
Which who doesn't? They're so good. They're so delicious.
I mean, they are Milk's favorite cookie.
Have you seen? It's just insane what they do to Oreos now.
Oh my gosh.
I know it's a tangent, but it's crazy.
It is.
Like
the different flavors. Just,
I gotta think, like, they're in a pitch meeting and they're like, okay, I got it. Birthday. Everybody loves birthdays. Everybody loves Oreos. What if we make a birthday cake Oreo? Huh? Or maybe they just have like a wall of random adjectives, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, and they just throw a dart.
Yeah. Flavors. You know? Sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, my favorite flavor off-brand would be the mint Oreos. Have you tried those before?
Those are fantastic. I think that is the superior Oreo.
Outside of your original.
I think I even prefer it to the original.
Wow.
It doesn't have the versatility of the original, though, and I'll grant you that. Because, you know, mint, you don't always want that mint flavor with
– right.
All the time, but mm-hmm, but no, it's definitely the best. There's crazy ones. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think red velvet and yes, peanut butter, and it's unbelievable. It's like it just goes on forever and ever. And I don't know that you could ever hope to grasp the expanseness that of the variety of Oreos. And speaking of which,
you think there's Oreos in paradise?
That's exactly what I was going to ask you.
We know each other too well.
It's Milk's favorite cookie. Do you think it's God's? Jason, go. Yes, no. Yes, no. If not, why?
I think he's a snickerdoodle man. So he gets the best of, you know, cinnamon and sugar.
I think maybe he's a kitchen sink cookie fan because he just loves it all.
Uh-huh. He's like Michael Scott, where he wants the everything pretzel and just put it all together.
All together.
Oh, what was it? Oh, it's called The Works. That's what it was called. The Works. You got it.
That once a year. Pretzel Day.
Hey, 364 more days until Pretzel Day.
So, speaking of heaven on earth, let's just talk about heaven. Chapter 16, Introduction to the Devout Life,
mm-hmm,
the eighth meditation on paradise. So, Jason, at the beginning of each of these meditations, it says, place yourself in the presence of God and invoke his aid or ask him to inspire your heart or mm-hmm, ask for his grace. And I don't know why, but for some reason, when I was reading this, in that very first moment of place yourself in the presence of God, the introduction to the Liturgy of the Hours jumped into my head. That when you're praying the Liturgy of the Hours, it typically begins with God come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Lord, make haste to help me. Exactly. And so that placing yourself in the presence of God, just internally, God come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. And I looked at number two, invoke his aid. I'm like, oh, I just did. That's awesome. And that so oftentimes, like, what a great posture for prayer to put ourselves into God's presence and to ask for his aid, to ask for him to come assist us with whatever it is that we're encountering. And so I just like I stopped there for a little bit, like already that's a wonderful place to be, just in the presence of God with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so after I spent some time just there, I moved into the different considerations, and I just had fun enjoying these different considerations. This first one in particular. What did you think of this first consideration?
Well, before I jump into that, I do want to say it was really great, like you said, going through this meditation. I think as I mentioned last week, I was in need of going to confession, and so thankfully I was able to go to confession. And as soon as I got done going to confession, went back home and read this meditation. Because I knew it was going to be on paradise, and now that I reconciled myself with God, I was like, okay, now I'm in the right frame of mind. And mm-hmm. it moved me, it got me misty, because it reminded me of what I could have lost if I would have stayed in that state of mortal sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you really appreciate it. And this first consideration, like you were saying, I know for me as a kid, I always loved the nighttime. I still do. But just the awe and wonder of seeing, because I used to be from age 7 to 10, I would go out fishing with my uncle and with my dad all the time. Every weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we would be out at either Possum Kingdom Lake, Breckenridge, Grapevine, anywhere and everywhere. In the North Texas, if there's a lake, Lake Whitney, you name it, I've been there. And we would always camp out in my uncle's trailer. And Friday night and Saturday night, you're out of the city lights. You see the stars. You see the Milky Way galaxy. It's so magical. And it brought me back to being that child and being in awe in that first consideration.
Yeah, I literally wrote down the words wonder/awe. Excitement, joy. Like I was giddy. I was giddy imagining this. And so just to cut to the chase here, he tells the reader to imagine the night where the heavens are bright with stars, and then add to that beauty the most beautiful, glorious summer's day. And as I was closing my mind, my eyes, and opening my mind, to the idea of this beautiful summer's day combined with the clear shining of the moon and the stars, my mind just went to all these scenes of from when I was even a little kid, laying down in my front yard with my friends, staring up at the sky, looking at the stars, my in-laws are from South Dakota. And so for a couple of years, my wife and I and our kids would go up to South Dakota to visit my wife's grandmother. And so to get out of the city and to get into the country and just to see the sky so blue with nothing obstructing it, and to see the grass so green, and to have the smell of fresh air, like it's just not the same. And it's something that it floods your senses, and everything in between, you know, from baseball games to hikes atop of, you know, different mountains or hills or different places. And like, it's all like all of these experiences that I've ever had encountering the beauty of God's creation are just like all at once flooding my mind. And I mean, even right now, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. God is so good. Oh, bright and blessed country. Oh, sweet and precious place indeed. Absolutely beautiful. And then he goes into the second consideration.
Mm-hmm. And this is the one that really got me. This is the of everything that's in this consideration, this is the one that captured my heart of them all. And well, first is, I don't know if you're a wrestling fan. Are you a wrestling fan at all?
I was when I was a kid.
Did you ever watch The Rock when he was in WWE?
Yeah, a little bit. That was kind of towards the end of me paying attention to wrestling.
Okay, so
yeah,
I used to be an avid follower of wrestling, especially during the Attitude Era with The Rock and Stone Cold and all that. And one of the catchphrases that The Rock had was, he'd be in his bravados type of speech and he'd be like, "And the millions," and then he would wait because all the fans would shout, "And millions,
and in front of the millions of Rock fans."
So uh-huh. That part where it says the millions and millions of angels and cherubims, I immediately was picturing The Rock being like, "And the millions and millions of angels and cherubims," like just going off on that. Anyways, that's where my brain goes.
That is hilarious.
it's a weird and wacky place to be in.
Uh-huh.
But in all seriousness, no, just stop and thinking for a moment of the countless angels and saints and virgins and confessors that Francis tells us. But here's the thing that I love what he says is like, you pluck any one of these millions, who knows, maybe even billions at this point. You pluck one of them, just one of them members, would surpass any and everything that this world could ever offer. It's like, oh man. And God wants to be us. He wants me to be a part of that. And God wants me to be accounted among one of those that is more glorious than anything on this earth could ever produce or provide. Man.
Yeah, I highlighted that as well, that any one single member of which surpasses all the glory of this world. It took me to a couple of places. One, I thought of Out of the Silent Planet, and I thought of our old friend Ransom. Right, that is on this planet of Malachandra, and he's encountered different beings, and one of the ones that he's really formed a beautiful relationship with is this community of creatures called the Hrasa, and just the idea that it's just this beautiful community that lives life and sings the joys of life, and I kind of get the feeling like he would say that about one of those members of that community. You know, I could see Ransom saying that any member of them would surpass anything that I encountered on Earth, you know?
Yeah.
Like I absolutely could get that. The other place it took me was like, have you ever been part of a team, a winning team, a team that sports or anything else that just won the championship or won the, you know, a big game or won just that those moments right afterwards that are so pure. They're so like just good and innocent and not filled with like, you know, comparison or they're not tainted by any extra greed or envy or anything. It's just those moments of just joy and accomplishment and community and just, you know, you're with your team and there's not even words that need to be said. It's just like this laughter that everyone just sharing in those moments. And as it's talking about these people, that they rejoice with a perpetual joy. They share a bliss unspeakable and unchangeable delight. This crew in heaven, right? The millions and millions, as you said, of angels and cherubim and seraphim and the apostles and all these people, like they know where they are. Like they are the church triumphant, right? They have overcome and they share in this unbelievable joy. And like I imagine that and I'm like, oh goodness, I just want to be a part of that. It's so beautiful.
So with the affections and resolutions, for me, and this ties into what you just said there, is when he talks about the line where he says, woe is me that for the sake of poor, savorless earthly things, I have so often forgotten those heavenly delights. So exactly what you're saying.
Get out of my brain, Jason. That's exactly what I underlined.
Yeah.
That word for word. How could I have ever taken my eyes off of what was truly important? And for the sake – I love the language here. Mm-hmm, for the sake of poor, savorless, earthly things. So it convicted me. We've talked before about like our telephones and just getting distracted by them and how they take away from our families or from our kids or from important tasks at hand. And I've been doing a pretty solid job of staying away from that. But recently – in the last couple of weeks, my guard on that, my vigilance on that has gone down and oh man, the number of times that I find myself like reaching for my phone or using my phone or playing a game in my phone, it's just not healthy. And it drives my wife crazy. I'm sure my kids crazy. And so I read this line. It was this line right here. Woe is me for the sake of poor, savorless, earthly things, right? And how could I neglect such real treasures? And then it was that, and then it was the fourth resolution of resolve to give up such things, such and such things, which hinder you on your way. And I was like, oh my gosh, all right. So I just deleted it. Like, all right, you're gone, you know? Whatever apps that are pulling me my attention away from anything else, I don't need them. They're not going to get me closer to heaven. Mm-hmm. And you're deleted. You're gone. And it was this reflecting on heaven, on what was important, on what. Why would I even entertain something that is anything that is just frivolous? That is a pointless waste of time, and whatever temporary joy it could provide is savorless and temporary and pales in comparison to the goodness that awaits for me in paradise.
Right.
So that's a little bit of me pulling back the curtain of how St. Francis de Sales is kicking my butt in my own life.
That's awesome. For me recently, and when I read that, it took me to actual food. The last couple of weeks have been very stressful in my life, work schedules, my routine was out of whack. And so a lot of my eating habits went by the wayside. And it was also because of stress, because of frustrations. I leaned on food because salt and sugar makes you feel good. And that's what I went to. And so, which is funny because it makes you feel good immediately, but then you start feeling like crud afterwards and you feel lethargic and you feel fat and you feel just disgusting and you're not tackling the real issues. You're masking it with food. And I was doing that. And when I read that, that drew me conviction of like, okay, I really need to get back on a healthy eating lifestyle and get rid of the Halloween candy that's still in our house, to get rid of the sweets that is in my desk drawer in my office, to not go out and eat fast food for lunch or for dinner, eating late.
That's huge.
After, after dinner, and really focusing on that, because, that in... It may seem superficial, but again, like he's saying, that savorless, like that remind, like just that's what immediately popped in my brain was, I was going after something that I thought was going to satisfy me, but deeper down, I was hoping that that would take care of my loneliness or my anger or my stress, which it can't do. It's just food.
See, and this is the thing, is, you know. Yeah, sometimes in our life, there's big things that we're struggling with that we need to just cut out and stop, right? Mm-hmm. Mortal sins specifically. Any of the mortal sins, we need to just, the end, don't murder anybody, et cetera.
Gabe, you need to cut out with that murdering stuff, okay?
I'm telling you. So, can't stop, won't stop. Anyway, like when the rubber meets the road, though, like when you're in the trenches, oftentimes when we're dealing with the stresses of day-to-day life, like you're talking about food. I mean, everybody can relate to that. I mean, we've all been there. Like Halloween was not friendly to me, you know? Especially you get those little like those little fun size candy bars or whatever, and it's like, even in the name, okay.
It's fun.
It's little, you know, two of them, and just two, right? But then right. You put them together, and you're like, oh my gosh, that's the size of a real candy bar. I would never just go, yeah, I'll eat a whole candy bar, right. You know. But you'll eat two or three of those things, like in the blink of an eye, you know.
Yep.
Like, oh man, you know. But you're right. We turn to stuff like that, or we turn to our phone, and we play a game on our phone, or exactly. We go into Facebook or Twitter or social media, any of this stuff. It's not, you know, like, okay, yeah, I'm looking at the Ten Commandments, and no, I'm not, you know, out there, you know,
cheating on your wife.
Cheating on my wife. Thank you for grabbing something there. Yeah. But what I am doing is pouring my attention into other places.
Right.
What I am doing is not treating myself as healthily as God would want me to do. What I am doing is not serving my family or myself or God in the way that He's calling me to do so. And it's lots of these little things that just kind of clutter up our lives, mm-hmm. that prohibit us from being who He's created us to be, and ultimately to keep us from getting to be part of this elect, part of these people, part of this group that's in heaven. And like, I don't want that. I don't want you to have that. Like, and so I'm, that's awesome that you've had that resolution there. And clearly like the podcast is called Reading Your Way to Heaven. And this is it. This exactly. is what that looks like,
yep.
You know, not that like, boom, we're ready to go to heaven.
Right.
But it's being convicted by the words of saints and great thinkers and God Himself. When we read, sacred scripture on Fridays, that elicits change, that when you internalize these words, you know, you really have to fight against them to not want to change,
mm-hmm.
Because it just sticks in your mind, and it kind of pokes you and prods you, and it just doesn't leave you. Like I told you, when I read this, I was like, it resolved to give up such and such things, and I was like, oh gosh, I don't really want to give, like,
yeah,
it was some dumb little basketball game, you know, like I love sports, I love it,
yeah.
I don't want to give that up, like.
You start rationalizing it too. You're exactly. Like, well, it's not that bad. Like, I only get on it just maybe once or twice a day, even though I'm on it those once or twice a day for an hour, you know,
for extended periods. Or like, I'm not killing anybody. You know?
Right.
I'm not cheating on my wife. You know, like no. But this is not the life that God has for you. This is poor, savorless, earthly things.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
This is what we're talking about, and we do those things. We let go of those things. We resolve to make these changes so that we can. And this is to the third consideration, the very last line. We do this so that when we are in heaven one day, we hear the voice of God saying to us, "Blessed are you, mine own forever, who have served me faithfully and with a good courage." That's what we long to hear. That's what our heart cries out to hear. And it's these incremental little changes and resolutions and struggles and victories that's what it's going to take for us to get there. And sometimes it's big stuff. Yes, for sure. Mm-hmm. Sometimes mm-hmm. we have yeah. big, huge stuff we absolutely have to take care of. But more often than not, it's this grind, this day-to-day grind that we just have to win the moment. We have to win it moment by moment, and we do it with God's help because we can't alone.
The last thing that I have is just that very last line in this consideration, just very succinctly, give thanks, offer yourself, pray. And that sums it all up, and that's what I reflected on at the end of each day for the last week, of give thanks, offer yourself, and pray. And as we just been saying, like, it's offer that middle part, offer yourself. We have to offer our very lives, our very selves back to Him in order. Because that's what I was reflecting. I was like, if I want to be with God and I want to hear those words that you just spoke from the lips of Jesus, the only way I can do that is by offering my whole self to him.
Yeah.
Which means I need to let go of all of this other trivial things in my life and just offer it up to him.
Amen. Good stuff. Heaven. Got to get you some of that heaven stuff, man. That should be the next flavor of Oreo. Heaven flavored Oreos. What would they taste like?
I knew you were going to ask me that because that's exactly what I was thinking. What would that taste like? I mean, my favorite candy bar of all time is Kit Kat. So I would love like an Oreo Kit Kat mashup. That would be the that would be the bomb. Mm.
I hear you. I hear you. I think maybe a Twix Oreo mashup, that'd be pretty solid also. You know? Of course it'd have to be zero calories, right?
Of course.
Anyway, well, hey guys, please, if this podcast helps you in any way, please share it with others, hit 5 stars, leave us a review, and visit us on our website, readingyourwaytoheaven.fireside.fm. Hey, leave us a comment. What's your favorite kind of cookie? What's your favorite kind of Oreo? And if there were a heaven flavored Oreo, what would it taste like for you? What is it, on a more serious note? Maybe what is it that God is saying to you? What is the Holy Spirit poking and prodding? How is he poking and prodding in your life? What is he urging you to give up? Maybe it's TV late at night. Maybe it's to start doing something. Maybe it's to start reading the Bible more, or maybe it's to start praying. How is the Holy Spirit working in your life? What is that resolution going to look like for you? Let's share it. Let's talk about it. Let's pray for each other. You got anything else, Jason?
Nope.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. We'll see you next Wednesday. And like Jason said at the beginning of the podcast, we also put out episodes on Monday and Friday too. If you haven't listened to those, please join us. We'd love to have you there as well. That's going to do it for us. And until next time, love you. Bye.
Bye.